by the blood of Christ. It is the shedding of his blood by which we are justified. Christ fulfilled the law, and God is just. And so his justice must be displayed. He cannot just forgive sins and just wave them away. He cannot just say, well, your sins be forgiven, because the justice, the scripture says that God cannot lie. The reason he cannot lie is because of his nature. His nature is such that he is holy, and he is just, and he is good. And the very nature of God is such that he cannot lie, because God is good. God is perfect. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is all of these things, and perfectly so. And so it's impossible. And so if God is just, then justice demands the penalty for sin. And so it cannot be just forgiven. Justice must be served, and the justice of God. And so the sinner is brought before, the justice of God brings the sinner before the bar of God. Justice demands that sin be punished, that rebellion be punished. It cannot just be overlooked and swept under the rug. And so the justice of God demands that sin be punished. And so how can a man be just before God, Job said? Why, it's because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins were laid on him. Our sins were imputed to him, and therefore he suffered for them. And so Christ was made of a woman and made under the law. That means that he had to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. That's what we were supposed to do. God gave Adam a law, and he rebelled against that law. And so we have rebelled against the law of God and have failed in keeping it. But Christ was made under the law, and he fulfilled it in every jot and every tittle, and to the point that he was just when he raised from the dead, when he had suffered and fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and he hung on the cross, and after he said that he had thirst, as the prophet had prophesied, and they gave him bitter gall to drink, and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and they took him down off of the cross and laid him in a rich man's tomb, according to the scriptures. And after 3 days, according to the scriptures, he raised from the dead. And so he was justified in the spirit. God raised him from the dead, having met every demand of the law, and the end of sin is death. And so he died. And now that he had died and laid in the tomb, death had no more dominion over him, and the law had no more claim against him, and so he was released. He was justified, and he was set free from the curse of the law, and from death, the wages of sin, and he rose from the dead, and he was set free and stood justified, and we're in him. We stand justified today, and so we are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Eternal life is an inheritance. Eternal life is that which God's children are heirs of. And we receive that as a gift of God. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, whom to know is life eternal, and therefore he is the fountainhead of life eternal. And we have this gift of grace and the gift of eternal life through him. And we live in hope of eternal life now by faith. The just shall live by faith. We are now the faith of God's elect, when they hear the gospel preached, lay hope to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And so we are adopted. The washing of regeneration in itself does not make you the children of God, but it makes you meet for the heirs of God. And so it says that we have been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. So Christ has adopted, the Father has adopted us into the family of Jesus Christ. We have been predestinated to that end, that we should be conformed to the very image of Christ. And so from the very beginning, even before God made Adam and made the earth a place for Adam to live, he had already purposed that the children that he would give to Christ, his bride, should be conformed to his image, that eventually they would have a glorified body. Christ should become a man and endure and bear the image of the earthly first. But then, after he had suffered, he would enter into his glory. And then the Lord's children's ultimate end was to be transformed and to bear the image of Christ himself. And so we have been adopted, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. And so these bodies, though they now are still under the law of sin and death, and the soul in here, which is you, that soul cannot die. It does not die. It's not something material. It's immaterial. And though an atomic bomb might blow these bodies to smithereen, it cannot hurt the soul. The soul, the fire and the wind and the tempest, and those things just don't bother the soul. And so we've already seen that displayed in the Old Testament in many different ways. The Lord's children were cast in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fire. And the Son of God was seen walking around in there. And that portrayed the glorified body. Fire will not kindle upon that body. And so, in this body, we still have the law of sin and death, which is contrary to the law of life as it is in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, which is after Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the new man lives by and lives after. And so this, he cannot, this warfare that's going on now will cease when death comes or when the Lord comes and we are translated from this body into that promised body. So we are heirs of life eternal and by our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And so these things are good and profitable unto men. These are the things that we are to teach the Lord's people, that we are by nature sinners, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that by the grace of our Heavenly Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we have been redeemed and stand justified before him. And those from the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, we see the change that takes place in a person's life. Just as sure as a person has been washed by the Spirit of God, there is a new principle of life within that person. And they begin then to seek after a righteousness which is not their own. They begin to hunger and to thirst after righteousness, and they are commanded then to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And these things is the provisions that we need for this body here in this life. of such things, the Lord says that the world seeks after. They spend their time seeking after the things to provide for this body, for its pleasure and for its convenience and so forth. But the Lord's children are commanded to seek the kingdom of God first, and all the things that you need here in this life may not get everything you want, but the Lord said he will provide our needs, and that's what we should be content with. And so the Lord, in his great mercy, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Declare unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that she has received double at the Lord's hands for all of her sins. Jerusalem, in this case, stands for the church. And the church, Jerusalem, is a type of the church, the city of God, which is made without hands. And so we are to declare unto her, to comfort her, and to tell her that the warfare is accomplished. And this is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which it is in truth. We have many times, we were told that in order for us to be a member of the family of God, that we would have to perform certain works and even hold out faithful to the end on our own accord. But the warfare is accomplished. The Lord has performed the work. He has fought the fight and won the victory. We are more than victors through Christ Jesus our Lord. And he has saved the church with an everlasting salvation. We love to always remind the Lord's people that he is not trying to be a savior, but he is a savior. He is not designed to be a savior, but he is the savior. He is the only savior, and he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The Lord's people are commanding, just as Adam had fellowship with the Lord before he sinned in the garden, and that was broken. The Lord's people now, in the newness of the Holy Ghost and the washing of regeneration, are commanded then to be baptized and to take up their cross and to follow him. The baptism is a type of this washing of regeneration. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and it is a picture of your hope in him. And you are saying when you do that, that you believe, being a sinner, that you have died to sin, that the love of God that has regenerated you, this washing of regeneration, has killed you to the love of sin, and that you are dead with Christ. That is, that you believe that Jesus Christ has put away sin in the suffering in his own body on the tree, that it satisfied the justice of God, that God the Father was satisfied with it and received it, and that Christ is indeed the Messiah, the sent one, the Son of the living God, and that he has come and satisfied the just demands of the law to the satisfaction of the Father. And because of this, the Father raised him from the dead, and now he stands justified, and all who believe in him stand justified before God. All who trust in this great redemption which Christ has wrought, they stand just before God, because his righteousness is imputed to you, and your sins have been imputed to him and put away and taken into a land uninhabited, never to be remembered against you anymore. When the Lord come out of the grave, and Mary went into the tomb, and Peter and John later, it said they saw the grave clothes lying there, and that the napkin that was about his face. And so he had come out and left undisturbed those bindings that had bound him like a mummy there in the grave. And they represent our sins. He is our sacrifice, our scapegoat. Our sins were laid on him, just as a high priest laid his hands on the head of the goat there the sin offering, and he confessed the sins of all the sins of all of Israel on the head of this goat, and a fit man led him into a wilderness uninhabited, to a land uninhabited, never to be seen anymore. And so Christ is our scapegoat. He so wonderfully, like a lamb led to the slaughter, was dumb before his shears and opened not his mouth. But he went willingly and gladly, he said. He told the apostles there on that night when he gave us the ordinance of the supper. He said, with desire have I desired to eat the supper with you. That was his passion. That was his desire. What love, what great love he had for us, he displayed for us. And so he went to the cross. It was his desire. He said, this is my broken body, and so forth and so on, which we hope to participate in here in a little while. And so it was his great passion to redeem them that the Father had given him. But in order to do it, in order for him to be justified, to stand justified before God as our representative, as our sin bearer, all our sins had to be laid upon him. And he had to suffer the consequences of them. Not only was his body beaten and bruised and spit upon, but his soul was made a sacrifice for sin. It's in the soul where we grieve and where we sorrow and where we mourn as a human being. It's in the soul where we have joy, where we are happy, and where we rejoice. And he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with sin. Our sins were laid upon him, and he grieved over them. He had to grieve because of a broken law that his Father was angry at. The wrath of God was kindled against him because God is just and his justice demanded it. If Christ had not suffered, beloved, we would spend eternity suffering for our sins. But because Christ has suffered in our room instead, he endured in that wonderful and lovely body and in that soul that was created there when the baby was born by the Virgin Mary. A living soul, a human soul. He was verily man. He was not part God and part man, but he was truly God, and verily man. And he had a body and a soul and a spirit, just like every man has, every human being has. Sin accepted. He was not a sinner. He did not commit a sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. But yet, he was made sin. He was made sin. Our sins were laid upon him. And one described it one time, and it's not a pretty picture, but I feel like it's an accurate picture. He said, if you've ever seen a dead carcass laying beside the road, that maybe an automobile has hit, and after a while, if you watch it in the summertime, it'll be full of maggots. It'll just be crawling with maggots. And he said that's a picture of our sins when God turned his back on his son, that our sins were laid upon him and they were just like a dead carcass with crawling maggots. What a loathsome thing sin is to our heavenly Father. And Christ was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. And though he turned his back on his son that he might judge our sins in him, his son has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we are encouraged to fight the good warfare of faith, the fight of faith, that we might serve him and love him here until he comes again. And the Lord's children cannot be found doing anything more joyous to the soul, more beneficial for their health and welfare here in the world. If the Lord has kindled a light in your heart, if he's kindled your candle in your heart, David said, he will light my candle. And if the Lord has lit your candle and he dwells within your heart, our beloved, there's no more joy that you'll have in this world than to taking up your cross and following him, to be baptized, to picture what he has done for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. Come out justified from the curse of the law, from delivered from the wrath of God, set free, never no more to be condemned by the curse of the law, never no more to be plagued by our enemies, by Satan, by death, by sin, the consequences of it. He's risen. He is risen. The grave could not hold him. And he has ascended back on high and is at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he's coming again for his bride. He's coming for those that he bought and paid for. He'll not lose one. We have the very assurance of God and the word of God to that effect. And so we can rest in hope and in faith and in much assurance that God has, that the Lord loves the church and he is coming back for it. And the Lord's people find rest in taking up their cross and following him. It sounds like a contradiction. And the life of a Christian is a contradiction as far as the world is concerned. He says, if you want rest, then take my yoke upon you. If you want to be lifted up, you have to be brought down before you can be lifted up. The way up in the kingdom of God is down. That is, it's in humility. It's to be humbled, a broken and a contrite spirit he will not despise. But a haughty and a proud spirit, a rebellious spirit, the Lord despises. And that's what brought shame and sin into the world. May the Lord add his blessings to his precious word. We feel like that we've just touched on the great justification and redemption that we've received in Christ. And all of these wonderful scriptures, God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to his works, but according, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The apostle told Timothy, a preacher, explained that to him and told him to preach it. And he told Titus that when the kindness and love of God our Savior has appeared in Jesus Christ, which he has shed so abundantly on us through him by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, being justified by his grace. Isn't it wonderful to think that a poor sinner can be justified before God and stand before him without one sin laid to his charge? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Yea, it was Christ that died and has risen again. And so we stand, if we are in Christ, just before him. And the church is the called out assembly of the Lord's people to be witnesses of these things. We are to do this, to break his body symbolically when we break the bread, and to drink his blood when we take a little sup of the wine to represent his sinless blood that was given for the remission of our sins. He says, do this till I come. So may the Lord bless the church here at Reedsville to continue in these things, to do them until he comes. Let's sing a hymn, and we'll publish the doors of the church open if there's one or more. Number what? Page 100, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And we publish the doors of the church open if there's one or more here today that would love to follow their Lord in baptism and become a member of the church here at Reedsville. We'll give you that opportunity while we're singing this hymn, or while we're yet assembled together here on the grounds today.
charged on Friday night, Saturday, and all of them Sunday till lunchtime. They have a guy hunting, and I would have to be with them on Saturday and Sunday. They have a regular Lord to be there on Friday.
They'll rain Lord Friday and Elder Hunt Saturday and Sunday from Alabama.
You don't get more say down when you got a man coming in.
Lord Reverend Elder Ray Edwards will be here next Sunday. He's a pastor at Pine Ridge Church in outside of Watertown. We explained to the brethren we were talking about taking the pastorship here, that I'd like to have off in June of this year anyway. I have been going to Mills Chapel in Annapolis at their community meeting. Elder Curley, that pastor, has been coming to meet with us the first weekend in June every year, and I've been going there for the last 7 years. And so they were expecting me, he said, to come, so I told him if I could get somebody I would. Elder Ray Edwards will be here. He said he'd be glad to come, but nothing hindered him. And so he'll be here, the Lord willing, next Saturday, Sunday. Brother Ray, he doesn't preach long, but he preaches good. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a godly man. Elder Muriel Helms will be with us at Pine tonight. We have a second Sunday service each Sunday night tonight. And on Sunday nights, we start singing at 6:30 and have preaching at 7 o'clock. During the week, we usually start singing at 7 and preaching at 7:30 to give people a little more time of the work. I have a group of appointments down in the Bear Creek for the latter part of this month. It's quite a ways, and if anybody wants them, I'll be glad to give them to you. I don't think it's a, unless you can remember them all, if I told them to the man at 991 in those places, but I'll be glad to give them to you. Are there any other announcements?
You might announce that we're going to have lunch and then come back with it.
The sisters and friends have brought out lunch, so we will take about an hour here for lunch, and then we will go into our communion meeting. And as the brother has already announced, we invite all the members of our faith and order who are standing home to stay and to commune with us. And visitors, for that part, are invited to stay and to watch if they would like. But we will have lunch before communion. Is there anything else? Not that I was in the pastor ordinance and the brother.
Well, then you get your own little table on the hand with a 360. I don't think I'm going to have to do that. Little damn little 360. Yeah, that's good enough.
My brother says the way to get the Old Mill Church is to get on 360, go out there about 12 miles. Is that correct? I've been there, but it's been so long.
Yeah, that's one way to go. I need to go down 58 and get on 729. Right past the airport, and that takes you back to the church. Stay on 729.
Go down 58, exit on 729.
Right past the airport.
You go right past the airport.
Turn left. That'd be
729. Thank you. Brother Hinge could explain it to you better if you would like to know more about how to get there. God willing, we ask the Lord to dismiss us. Most kind and merciful Father, we thank thee again for the many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee, dear Father, for the redemption that's in Christ, for the bread of life. We thank thee, dear Father, for the church here in Greensville, for the privilege we have to assemble together to worship and praise thy great and wonderful name. We thank thee, dear Lord, for all the spiritual blessings that are treasured up in Christ and for each part and lot that thou hast blessed us with in years past and gone down to this present day. Now, Lord, we pray that for those that are not saved from service and we take the part in hand, that thou would go with each and every one of us, equals by thy love and power, for we ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.